When we think about the history of Waseca County, it is important to look at our buildings. Buildings deserve attention because, like a museum artifact, they represent our past life. We live, work, shop, and socialize in these buildings. We try to make our surroundings pleasant, to suit our tastes, and to show others what we think is important. From our buildings, we learn when farms and communities were settled, and about the people who came to Waseca County. Buildings make statements about the owner's taste, finances, and business and community involvement. We also study architectural styles, looking at buildings as art forms. Structural and decorative details blend to form styles we can recognize and name. In Waseca County, we can find many examples of styles popular in the past. Although later, owners may choose to remove or change some details. Many people retain period characteristics during modernization of their structures. The early white settlers of Waseca County needed shelter quickly, so they built simple homes with logs. A typical house was described by James Childs, who tells us in June of 1857, Mr. S.A. Farrington built a log house 14 feet by 20, one story high. The original floor was earth, and the first roof was of poles, hay, and prairie sod. As soon as sawmills and brickyards were started, settlers turned to these construction materials. Farmscapes consisting of the house, barn, granary, corn cribs, silos, and other outbuildings developed all over the county in the last half of the 1800s. William Brisbane, writing about his Wilton Township farm in 1887, described it as having a barn with an L and underground stables, two granaries, and a frame house with two wings. A common farmhouse was a rectangular structure with a gable roof and simple decoration. Additions formed an L shape or a T shape with a porch in the angle. Several early farmhouses had a brick exterior rather than wood clapboard. Often, the brick formed decorative arches over the windows. In 1869, Seth S. Phelps built his brick house west of the city of Waseca. He worked on several contracts for the railroad, which was pushing through the county. Later, he farmed and speculated in land. His house, now in the National Register of Historic Places, is the earliest documented structure in Waseca County. Costing about $11,000 when built, it is two stories with elements of the Italianate style. Tall and narrow first floor windows, brackets under the eaves, a low pitched hip roof, and a double front door are characteristics of this style. On many farms, a new house eventually became necessary. This replacement often was a Midwest square style, cube-shaped, 2 1/2 stories. Sometimes the first house was left intact, with a second house built nearby for children who grew up and took over the farm from parents. The early barns were framed with a gable roof, stone foundations, and horizontal sidings, or vertical board and batten siding. If the barn was built into a hill, it was called a bank or basement barn. As farms grew larger and the need for hay storage and animal housing increased, barns also became larger. A gable roof, the rainbow or arched roof, cupolas and ventilators gave barns another look. The first granaries were simple frame structures containing bins for grain storage. Round metal grain bins later became popular. Corn cribs were built in a narrow rectangular shape with spaced wood slats to allow air to circulate and dry ear corn. Sometimes a shedded corn crib was built by placing two cribs under a gable roof. Round cribs of wire mesh stretched over a metal frame replaced wood cribs. The first silos in the 1870s were of wood. A common type was the wood hoop silo of thin horizontal bands nailed to framing. About 1900, concrete and tile silos became popular, Letters or check patterns near the top indicate the silo's manufacturer. The glass-lined steel silo is the most recent variation, introduced in Minnesota in 1947. The chicken house, with a row of windows facing south, often was the closest building to the home, since the wife usually took care of the chickens. The settler's first log hut sometimes became the hog house after the family moved into a sturdier home. Frame hog houses looked like chicken houses, but were farther from the home. Machine sheds, early frame or modern metal, became necessary for tractors and other implements needing protection from the weather. Types, dates, and styles of rural structures continue to show the story of change in Waseca County farm life. The formal sense of building design is readily seen in the cities and villages of Waseca County. Once a town site was platted and the first streets laid out, commercial structures and residences quickly sprang up. In December 1867, the Waseca News told its readers that 102 buildings had risen in the new community in 3 months. Commercial buildings, such as these frame structures, are sometimes called boomtown style because they went up so quickly. The most prominent feature was the false front, hiding a gable roof and making the structure seem larger. In the 1880s, larger brick structures began to replace early frame buildings. Brick and stone were used in ornamental patterns, accents, and large arched windows. Some included the date of construction or the owner's name. Details revealing the building's use might be shown, such as the animal heads in this former meat market. Changes were caused not only by the desire for modern shops, but also by storms and fire, which destroyed existing structures. In Janesville in April 1887, the homes and property of over 100 people were destroyed in a fire, which started on Main Street. Brick buildings were put up on nearly all the lots left vacant by the fire. Further architectural changes on Main Street were spurred by the end of World War II in 1945. Merchants were anxious to revamp their storefronts with modern materials and detailing. Utilitarian structures, found in rural areas and in town sites, lacked stylized design, but forms and detail reflect times of construction and original purposes. Buildings like former creameries, depots, and rural schools have been converted to homes, stores, and town halls, but can still be recognized. Waseca County churches, whether in the country or city, often have formal architectural elements. Gothic Revival, popular in the 1860s to 1880s, used a steep gable roof, tall steeples, pointed arches over windows and doors, and carved trim. Victorian Gothic churches were larger brick or stone structures in irregular shapes with tall steeples, arches, and stained glass. Along with the commercial districts, residential areas also expanded. The earliest houses were similar to the L and T-shaped farm homes, but within a few years after the founding of communities, larger homes with elements of stylized design were being constructed. The Italianate house, built in 1871 by W.G. Ward, who came to Waseca as chief engineer for the Winona and St. Peter Railroad, reflected Mr. Ward's business and enterprises and his service as a state senator. This house is rectangular-shaped, two stories with a low hipped roof and wide eaves with brackets. Also during the 1870s and 80s, the French Second Empire style, characterized by the mansard roof, became popular. The roof was tall enough to create extra rooms in the attic. Tall, narrow windows and bracketed eaves were typical. Style elements were also used on common one-story workers' houses built at the same time, when the population was growing rapidly and inexpensive homes were needed. In the late 1880s and the early 1900s, Waseca County property owners turned to various revival and Victorian styles. More prosperous residents built large houses on spacious lots at the edge of town, but still on the same side of the railroad tracks as the business district for convenience. R.P. Ward, Waseca businessman and son of W.G. Ward, chose the classical revival style for his home built in 1895. Now, on the National Register of Historic Places, it is a wood clapboard house, rectangular and symmetrical. The two-story portico has columns topped by scroll-like Ionic capitals, and the triangular pediment contains a three-part Palladian window with modillions under the eaves. J.W. Onbaugh, a partner in the E.A.C.O. flour mills, chose the Renaissance revival style for his Waseca home, built in 1897. Horizontal divisions in this National Register site are set off by the wraparound front porch, the flat second story, and the stone band between the second and the attic stories. Other details include paired porch columns, an arched front entry with glass panels radiating around the door, and a band surrounding the front double window on the second story, with a rosette in each corner. Colonial revival, popular from about 1900 to about 1930, was used in several Waseca homes. For his home, Charles Luthold, operator of Luthold's Men's Clothing Store in Waseca, included paired Ionic porch columns, urns, a drapery design near the roof line, and dentils under the cornice. Motifs seen on other colonial revival homes are a sun porch to one side, keystones over the windows, dormer windows on the roof, and doorways with sidelights, transoms, triangular pediments, and column-like pilasters. The Queen Anne style, one of the Victorian styles, has an asymmetrical appearance and often elaborate detail. The National Register house built about 1900 by W.R. Wolfe, owner of the Wolfe and Haubein stores of Waseca, is a good Queen Anne example. It has four gables, three with eyebrow windows, two front corner cut at angles on the first floor, decorative elements on the porch, and a corner tower with a pyramid roof. Some Victorian picturesque homes were built for middle-class families and are quite simple, with only some porch or window detailing. Other middle-class homes which began to appear after 1900 were the Midwest Square and the Bungalow. The bungalow, often called Craftsman or Mission, was 1 to 1.5 stories, with a low gable roof, a front porch or sunroom, an exterior of stucco, wood, or brick, and wide eaves with exposed supports. One Waseca contractor who was active during this time was Erik Sjostrand. Born in Sweden, he designed his first home in Waseca in the bungalow style in 1911. His own home was also a stucco bungalow with the red tile roof taken from the Spanish colonial revival. Erik Sjostrand worked in colonial revival style, the early modern style popular in the 1930s and 1940s, the Gothic styles, and in the Rambler style, which was becoming popular when he did his last house in 1955. The low-lying prairie style, with more corners and flat roofs, was used for larger homes at the same time that bungalows were common. Architectural changes of the 1910s and 1920s, such as reduction of front porches and decorative elements, can be seen in English revival homes. These were of stone or patterned brick and stucco, with half timbering, a steep gable or hip roof, and an arched front door. After World War II, there was a massive building boom, which formed neighborhoods of houses which looked almost identical. The 1940s builder house was easy to construct, with a gable roof, smooth concrete block foundation, and a projecting front entrance with steps. Basement houses, with a sheltered entry at the top of the stairs, were common while owners saved money or waited for materials. Residents later moved into the new home built on top of the foundation. The ranch house, or rambler, was introduced in the 1950s. It is long and low, one story with no steps and a separate or attached garage. The split level became popular in the 1960s. This style has two or more levels, with the lower level partly below ground, and a garage built into the structure. The National Register of Historic Places is the official listing of historically and architecturally significant sites in the United States. In 1985, 9 structures in Waseca County are listed on the register. Besides the 4 residences which we have examined, 2 commercial buildings and 3 public structures are included. The W.J. Armstrong Wholesale Grocery Warehouse was built in Waseca about 1900. It is the historic structure which best represents the former ties between the railroad and the business community. It also reflects neighborhood changes. Although the area around the grocery is now commercial, the front lawn shows there were residences nearby. The warehouse is reminiscent of the Federal style, symmetrical, with a double front door with side lights and a transom, and a decorative brick work. The second commercial register listing is the Seehaw Sorghum Mill in Janesville Township. This group of frame buildings is the only known historic sorghum mill remaining in Minnesota. The oldest part was built by Cornelius Seehaw about 1905. Operations ceased around 1955 after the demand for the liquid sweetener dropped. The Waseca County Courthouse is the visual focal point of county government. Constructed in 1896, it replaced the first courthouse built when the county seat was moved from Wilton to Waseca in 1870. The courthouse is the Richardsonian Romanesque style, common for public buildings in the 1890s, and has a large, blocky look. A number of ornamental details can be seen, such as stone trim, towers, and 3 arches over the front entry, supported by granite pillars. The Janesville Library is the only Carnegie Library in Waseca County of the 65 Minnesota libraries financed by philanthropist Andrew Carnegie. In neoclassical style, the entrance portico features a pediment with columns in the plain Tuscan order and wide brick pilasters beside the columns. Swedish settlers of the Vista area in Otisco Township started the Vista Lutheran Church by 1868. In 1908, the present National Register structure was built. The dominant feature of the Gothic Revival Church is the projecting central tower with a double doorway, an arch transom, a triple-pointed arch window, and a bell tower with double-pointed arched openings. The church is the building which best represents the principal Swedish settlement of Waseca County. Each building has its own significance in the circle of life in Waseca County. When a building is torn down, we lose a symbol of our past. Continued use of a building sometimes depends on its alteration with additions, synthetic siding, or window changes. But we can still find remnants of the past in these altered structures. More people today are choosing to preserve the work of previous owners. It is important to take good care of our buildings, for when we know what we can discover, looking at older and modern buildings in the county and in the city can be fun.